Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Marine Corps Colonel William Dunn, who's president now of Strategic Resilience Group and the author of Gunfighters Rule. So let's talk about it, shall we? Hi, William. Thanks for being here. Hi, Colonel.
Hey, Dawn. Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm fired up.
To say the least.
You know, because for days I engaged, I'll tell you what, I did. I engaged in the conversation with my early, because I'm on since 6 a.m. So, okay, we want to talk about journalists and journalistic integrity and what would you do if you were invited. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the headlines, and this has been going on for days. And so I, you know, we wanted to hear your take on this because nobody's talking about the fact that these terrorists needed to be put in their place. That's to me, that's what this was all about. But where do you see the truth here?
Well, first of all, the thing that was sensationalized is the term war plan. These are not war plans. This was a mission. And it's not even a subtle difference. As I've reviewed old plans, is what we call them now. We don't really call them war plans anymore. I've reviewed operational plans for our government at the highest classification level, and these things are massive. They go in substantial detail. I'm not going to go in detail in it, but they go into a lot of detail on how we would prosecute a event against an enemy or a potential enemy. So when they put out war plan, they did that to sensationalize the fact that somebody was inadvertently added to a signal chat. And that, you know, if you take away that, then all of a sudden you don't really have this scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that takes place, if you are not used to understanding classified things such as secret, top secret, confidential, and they go very, very high. They go to nuclear command and control clearances. There's all these different clearances that we have, and that different members of the military and government personnel will obtain and hold for certain periods of time certain things. Number one, signal is not authorized for any of it. You cannot put secret information out on signal. We do in the military have sometimes classified cell phones that you can talk with, but you still can't talk on the cell phone unless you're in a space that's authorized for that level of communication. And so they implied that this was secret information that was put out. Well, it wasn't, in my opinion, was not secret information. What they did in the group chat is they talked around a mission that was taking place. And the reality is, in my mind and in my opinion, this data had zero impact on the execution and prosecution of these targets. Now, one thing to point out, let's just say it was classified information and it went out on signal. It would be known what's called a spillage.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a spillage, the first thing you do, once you determine that you did have a spillage, is you find out if that spillage caused any damage. In this case, it caused no ill effects on that mission. That data didn't get out. The information didn't get out to the Houthis. It did not put our aircraft at additional risk. So had it been classified, they would have assessed that the spillage happened, but it had no ill effects, and probably that would have been the end of it. They would have provided additional training for the people conducting the spillage and, you know, maybe made them do some additional things, but that would have been the end of it. What the left is trying to do is pull it out and make it this big incident. Now, when I was a commander, I purposely did not talk any operational things over signal or any unclassed communications. That's just because if you make it a policy, then things like this don't happen. And once again, I've reviewed everything that I've seen open source, mm-hmm. and in my opinion, none of it rose to the level of classification. And if it did, somebody, some entity would have had to classify that information. That entity most likely would have been, in this case, the SecDef, and he did not classify it. So you can't just because you think something's classified dictate, well, that was classified information. It's got to be assigned a classification, and in this case, it was not.
So as somebody who, I mean, you worked many, many years, what, 33 years in the U.S. Marine Corps to the level of Colonel Commander, right, William Dunn. In your expert opinion, do any of those CNN reporters, analysts, hosts, pundits, do they have the right or some kind of a qualification in their specialty to deem something classified or unclassified?
Well, absolutely not. And here's the interesting piece, right? And this is going to be very semantic. If I think something is classified, mm-hmm. and then I willingly transmit it, then I am in violation. So if you're in the military and you see something that you think is classified, what you have to do mm-hmm. is stop what you're doing and report it to what we call in the civilian world an FSO, a security officer, but you have to report it to your intel chain or your security officer so they can make that determination if it's actually classified. If you transmit it and you think it's classified, technically, and, you know, I'm not a lawyer, mm-hmm. in my opinion, you're technically breaking the law because you had intent. You had intent to transmit classified information. And so what they've done here, and, you know, we'd have to get the law professors and lawyers mm-hmm. to think about this. Did the Atlantic intentionally transmit what they believe was classified information? Mm-hmm. That's what I'd be looking into.
Yeah. See, that was where I was, you know, kind of asking a tongue-in-cheek question as to, because, you know, you have SecDef, as Pete Hegseth, he puts out no targets, no locations, no units, no routes, no sources, no methods, no classified information. Because otherwise, they, like, to your point, if there was the spillage, they would have reported it or they would have come out and said that, but they're saying no classified information. But I do think that what's critical here is that, and I'll tell you, when this first broke, I thought, okay, I'm going to give this Atlantic editor credit. If he's claiming that he saw or witnessed or was somehow accidentally set classified information, I'm going to give him credit for not publishing that, for not showing anybody that. But then they did, they claim they've published everything, that they believe this is all classified. And then he's been going on every show because he's trying to get like his 10 minutes of fame, whatever. And he's actually saying, oh, they put soldiers, they put U.S. military service members in danger, in harm's way. And so that is the question. Can somebody in the media or a civilian or anybody, if you believe that it's classified and then you go and you publish it, can you get in trouble for that?
Great question. It's not classified, once again, right? It wasn't classified information, in my opinion. I don't know. It's an intent thing, right?
Right.
You intended to release classified information. You know, the law professors, law people, the mm-hmm. Department of Justice should take a look at that, because here you have an entity that purposely published something that they, according in their own words, believe was classified. So if they did that, that would be a violation. And that would be breaking the law. So, but once again, in my mind, what they've done is they've gone down this slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there are some people that are saying that are military people I've seen on Facebook that says this is atrocious, it was classified. Once again, if you go by the book, it mm-hmm. wasn't.
The other piece of this, and I know, I will say this, there are people who are just being honest and trying to be transparent. I know Marco Rubio, I think within the past less than 24 hours, he was asked about it. And what did he say? He said, well, technically it was a mistake that this Goldberg guy was included in. So I think he's trying to be honest, because I think they just feel like they should be transparent to go, well, obviously they didn't intend for this guy to be, you know, to go out there. Then that's all you hear. But in the midst of this, you know, should there be an investigation as to how exactly this was, and I'm going to say allegedly shared? This is my concern. Is there somebody, I don't know, like a Vindman type involved here? Is it possible, in your expert opinion, that there could be sort of a never Trumper that's on the inside? Because that's what we're getting calls. We have all of these, you know, great listeners and viewers on YouTube, and they say, look, this would not be so difficult if somebody's using, let's say, even though it's an encrypted app, if you're using, let's say, a device that could be hacked or whatever, this would not have been difficult at all for somebody on the inside to make this invitation happen.
I would love to know the answer to that. I believe, once again, I'll be very clear, this is my opinion. I don't believe in coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
I believe someone added that individual to the chat on purpose.
Yep.
Now, maybe it was a mistake, and I would want to have an investigation to determine if it was a mistake or if someone did that on purpose. If someone did that on purpose, they, in my mind, they should, you know, I don't know if this is prosecutable, but they should lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a staffer, for instance, said, "Hey, boss, I'll set your phone up for the chat," and they put them on there on purpose, they you know, I would want to know that as you will be able to trace back. I'm very confident to which exact phone invited mm-hmm. that individual.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I use Signal every day, and so if I want someone in there, somebody puts it in, and it says who sent it. So you should be able to do the forensics and say this came from phone A. And then everybody who had contact with phone A, it's either just the owner or maybe a staffer, and find out why. And if it was a mistake, it's a mistake. I don't believe it's that simple.
Yeah.
I think just like you said, there may be some never Trumpers out there that tried to make a point. What I think is great about this, and you know, the left has a different opinion, but it just shows that people were in line with taking care of a target that was directed by the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay. You know, they're trying to say that, oh, the vice president disagrees with the president. No. In the military, this is how it works. If you're the commander, when I'm the commander, I want everyone's opinion. Everybody gives me their opinion, and then when I make a decision, they have two choices. Do it or don't do it. If they don't do the decision, then they go get a different job. And that's how every commander that I've ever worked for ran their, you know, command, and that's how I ran my command, is tell me your opinion. And you may disagree in execution, but once I say we're doing it, we're doing it. And that's what I saw here.
Yeah.
You know, other pundits will say, you know, this is terrible. This is disagreement. There's no problem in my mind with people giving their opinions when you're in this scenario, because what you're doing is you're taking human life.
Yeah.
And even though they're our enemy and we have to keep killing them because they won't stop, we need to take a pause when you're killing someone and make sure that's what we want to do for the vital interest of the U.S. And I believe we did that in this case.
Do you, in your expert opinion, do you believe that the previous administration basically emboldened the Houthis terrorist organization by delisting them, and then that allowed the funding?
100%. I'm surprised they didn't surrender the country. I'm surprised they didn't just surrender the country to China the last 4 years. When an American or an American-flagged vessel is attacked, the entire weight and might of the U.S. needs to come down on the perpetrator. I would love right now if the president or the SecDef would come online and go on TV, go on Fox News or whatever, or just do a meeting from the White House, list 20 or 30 targets where the Houthis are operating from, and say, we're going to take out all 20 of these targets the next thing that's launched at a U.S. flagged vessel or any vessel freely transiting the Red Sea, we're going to take all 20 of these targets out. Let them shoot and then take all 20 out. They can't stop us. I see no problem with telegraphing these fixed targets because you can't move them, right? They're fixed. They can't stop our military. Let them know we're coming for you. Make it so a Houthi, when he's looking at his parking lot and says, I got to walk into that building and launch a missile, know that he's going to die that day. So maybe he doesn't go to work, and maybe he lives another day and decides not to fight the U.S. We need more transparency on destroying these targets. And when they launch a missile or they launch a drone, we act decisively and we strike them. It's open kimono. If you shoot, we're going to destroy you. And then maybe we'll start seeing a reduction inactivity in the Red Sea.
Amen. Can you tell us about your book? It's a fantastic book, Gunfighters Rule. Maybe I'll start with, I mean, as you author this, why is your nickname Burner?
Well, that's, you know, we don't normally explain exactly why, but I would say that while I was in the Marine Corps, I liked to drink a bit and I liked to fight a bit. And so I got that nickname. I can't go into the details because it would surely offend somebody, but yes. I got that from a good friend of mine, and I would say it's moderately accurate.
Well, it's an awesome, awesome book, William Burner Dunn. I had to have I had to end on a little lighter note, but we love it. We would actually love to hear the story behind the nickname, right?
It'll cost you a beer for sure.
So when you come to Philadelphia, we'll buy you a couple and get the real story out of you. The book is Gunfighters Rule, an incredible book, an incredible story, really, about a boy destined to become a United States Marine. You know, we just thank you, Colonel Dunn, for joining us. And it's important as we celebrate our heroes. We just had an incredible, by the way, last Friday, incredible all-day thon, if you will, raising money for the Travis Manion Foundation. And so you're a great fit for us.
Well, I love coming on. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope all your listeners have a wonderful day and wonderful upcoming weekend as we get close to Easter and a nice spring coming our way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.